I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time. To become a part of time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome again to ET Yoga. ET Yoga, the yoga of belief. And we're going to be talking about some things tonight that I'm sure 99% of the listening audience has never heard before. And if that's a brag, we'll find out by the time the show time's up. We're going to be talking about some amazing science related to some of the secrets of the Qigong healing techniques. We'll be talking about relationships, and I think that what you're going to find is we're going to be covering some new ground with respect to this whole idea of free will, fate, determination. So if you've got some interest in these areas, I think you might want to grab a pen and paper, because there'll be lots of information coming your way in tonight's program. But before we get into all that, like to set the tone and the vibration for what's to follow by doing a little japa yoga. And japa yoga is a little bit of mantra repetition. And we have a short clip. And if the guys in the booth would play that now, it'd be much appreciated.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari.
Hari. Hari Om,
Hari Hari Hari
Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Hari Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Hari Om, Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Om
Hari 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 Om Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Hari Om,
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari
Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om,
Hari Om,
Om Hari Om Hari Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Om Hari Om Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om Hari 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 Om Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari 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 Om
Hari
Om Hari Om Hari Om
Om
Hari Hari Hari
Om
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari 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 Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Hari Om.
Hari Om, Hari Om,
Hari Hari Om.
Yes, that was Sri Swami Satchidananda, founder of the Integral Yoga Institutes. And that was a clip from back in the 1970s. The Shanti, Shanti, Shanti at the end, that means peace. I'd like to take this opportunity now to thank ET Yoga listening audience. Much appreciation and gratitude to you just for being you. As Bashar would say, you're already making the optimum difference just by being you. And people become aware of that fact when you're doing your passion. And I'd also like to also thank the people who do take the time to email me with their questions concerning content that I provide on this program, or to provide suggestions for further program content, things you'd like to hear about, things that I can put the ET Yoga spin on. Much appreciate that. And you can always email me at paperfungo, that's PAPERFUNGO, paperfungo at yahoo.ca. And I'd like to give an apology, too, for usually I'm right on top of all my emails, but I've been without technology for approximately 3 months now. Soon coming to an end. But the only technology I've used in the last 3 months has been doing this show. And this show is coming to you live from Brașov, Romania. And I do use a cell phone for that. Other than that, I don't use a cell phone. I'd like to now give my normal disclaimer that this program was created in order to share the information about the positive and most effective benefits and insights of ET Yoga. It is therefore for educational purposes, and although thought to be accurate, is provided as is and without warranty of any kind, either expressed or unexpressed or implied. Please note that ET Yoga is not a substitute for medical care. Information is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. You should always consult with the appropriate health practitioner in case of any medical condition. And if you're new to ET Yoga, you should also know that after I've said that disclaimer, that I appreciate and applaud your efforts to distance yourself from mainstream medical as much as humanly possible. And now I'd like to get right into the heart of the matter this evening, because there's lots of information that I'd like to cover. And I'd like to start off by talking a little bit about free will and fate, and some information that I think most people, some are aware of and some are not. But I'm going to start with a quote from Paramahansa Yogananda in his book, Autobiography of a Yogi. And it goes like this. The child is born on that day and at that hour when the celestial rays are in mathematical harmony with his individual karma. His horoscope is a challenging portrait revealing his unalterable past and its probable future results. But the natal chart can be rightly interpreted only by men of intuitive wisdom, and these are few. The message boldly blazoned across the heavens at the moment of birth is not meant to emphasize fate, the result of past good and evil, but to arouse man's will to escape from his universal thraldom. What he has done, he can undo. None other than himself was the instigator of the causes of whatever effects are now prevalent in his life. He can overcome any limitation because he created it by his own actions in the first place, and because he possesses spiritual resources that are not subject to planetary pressure. I think that's really important, and it's also important to note that reminds me of one of Bashar's concepts, and that is we are 100% responsible, meaning we have responsibility for our experience in this dimension. And that's because our thoughts, beliefs, definitions, emotions, intentions all combine to make our experience a total reflection of those. And you can't really have an experience you're not the vibration of. Can't happen. So also a connection there. And I'd also like to give some information here that that I do think is quite new for most people. And that's from the Pleiadian workbook, Awakening Your Divine Ka, by Amora Kuan Yin. Like, clearly from a spiritual perspective, each incarnation has a predetermined purpose, and the time and manner of death is also predetermined. Your Ka template is located on top of your head, at the back of and slightly behind your crown chakra. It is rectangular in shape and encoded with symbols from a sacred language. The symbols closely resemble a combination of Egyptian hieroglyphics and ancient Aramaic. As the Ka energies enter your aura from your fourth dimensional self, they are first received into your Ka template, passing over and through the encoding that delineates your soul's and body's blueprint for the use of your Ka in this lifetime. If you have a goal to ascend, that goal is encoded on your template and is activated as your template is cleared and opened. Likewise, if your being has chosen to experience physical death through cancer or any other disease, that information is also encoded on your Ka template. The Pleiadians never interfere with your chosen goals, but they will work with you to obtain whatever is in your highest good. You may have planned prior to your birth in this lifetime to take on genetic illness and limitation for the purpose of transmuting and transcending it. This too is shown on your template, and the transmutation and transcendental processes are accelerated when your Ka template is cleared and activated. When your Ka template is initially cleared and activated, the Ka energies will flow from your template to your pineal gland in the center of your head. Your pineal gland distributes light throughout your body and tells your brain how to run your body systems, mind, emotions, and physical movements. It also regulates the flow of light and energy to the meridian systems through your Ka channels and is vital to your spiritual awakening and enlightenment. And that's from Amora Kuan Yin. And she has multiple books out. I think Your Divine Ka, Your Divine Ba, and a Pleiadian spiritual workbook. And well, I guess back about 15 years ago, I worked through all the meditations that are in her book. And it's also in cooperation with Pleiadians. So I highly, highly recommend her material. And that's Amora Kuan Yin, A-M-O-R-A-H, Kuan, Q-U-A-N, Yin, Y-I-N. And I think that information is quite startling to some people. So, you know, for the most part, in my opinion, we do have free will. We're creating our own reality daily. But at the same time, there are some specifics. We are a fragment of our higher self that's chosen to incarnate, and that's what we would call an incarnation. And there are some specific purposes for each of our incarnations. And this, again, relates a lot to when I listen to people when they're trying to manifest money. Money is the tricky one, especially if too much money might interfere with your purpose for being here. So it's kind of like, as Swami Satchitananda would say, plan pending God's approval. Also, with respect to free will and destiny, I think there's a couple other specific events or circumstances that I also believe are manipulated. And one of those is your first initial awakening that there you have a higher self, or that you become aware that there are higher levels of consciousness and you have the ability to attain them. As Baba Ram Dass would say, that's called the planting of the seed and is actually symbolic of the true baptism. And when you become aware of that, I think that's probably, in my opinion, arranged by your higher self. I think you can help to bring that about through two factors. One is a certain falling away of worldliness. In other words, you've kind of been chasing things on the outside, looking for peace and happiness, but you also come to the realization that it's not possible in anything outside of you. And that so there's a certain falling away of worldliness, and also your sincerity. It's your sincerity that will attract you to the proper information and the proper people at the right time, which I think, I think your higher self has a lot to do with the timing of that. And also at the second stage, when you not only have the realization of higher self, but you actually stay and maintain that realization, I think that's also another one that there are things like that you can do to optimize that coming. And one of those would be more of a consciousness that's related to your awareness or your presence, as opposed to what society would call your identity. No doubt there are some other factors that I'm not aware of. I wanted to bring that information to light. And wanted to share with our listening audience from Sri Swami Satchidananda's book, To Know Yourself. And by the way, some of my favorite books would be this one, To Know Yourself, The Essential Teachings of Swami Satchidananda. Also Autobiography of a Yogi, which I call the classic yoga text. And Bringers of the Dawn, which to me is a really good baseline for ET information. If you've never read anything about Pleiadian, Bringers of the Dawn's dynamite book. It's free on the internet. It's also coded. It's going to activate some of your DNA. I highly recommend that one. Bashar recommends Cosmic Voyage. According to Bashar, Cosmic Voyage is about 95% accurate, which is pretty good for channeled information. And, of course, I like The Path of Self-Knowledge by Sri Ramana Maharshi, one of my favorites. And I recently dug up from way back the old Be Here Now, Now Be Here book by Baba Ram Dass. Great book. Now I'd like to share with you some information from the great man himself, Sri Swami Satchidananda. And he says, even if your dedication is not 100% at first, some dedication will lead to more. But if you want permanent peace, you will want to lead a dedicated life, constantly living for the sake of others. Then nobody can disturb your peace. That sacrifice is the key to peace. And without peace, there's no joy or happiness. In some way or another, we must renounce. The renunciate is not a loser, but a gainer. Instead of belonging just to one fenced-in area, he belongs to the world. If he renounces his little home, that doesn't mean he must leave it, but that he has broken the fence around the place he called home. Now he belongs to everybody and everything belongs to him. In fact, he has added to his family. A truly renounced and dedicated person is the emperor of emperors, the king of kings, the richest one in the world. Who is that? The one who possesses nothing. Wanting nothing is to have everything. A person of steady and contented mind will not even desire God. Don't be attached even to God. When you are ready, he will be there with you and in you. You don't need even to want him. This is the secret of all religions, the secret of yoga, and the secret of success. We're all interested in success in life. The secret is not to run after it, then it will come to you. So eternal joy and immortal peace can be experienced only by eternal joy and immortal peace can be experienced only by renouncing everything and by dedicating everything. This might create a little doubt in people's minds. What is this renunciation? Should I run away from my home? Where am I to go? A cave? A yoga ashram? This is not what is meant. You don't need to run away from anything. Stick to what you are, where you are. Do the same things in the same place, but with a different attitude. I do it for your sake, not for my own. As things come, let them. The trouble arises when you become attached to them. Even a king in his palace with all his wealth and power can be a renunciate. At the same time, the ordinary, humble, so-called seeker in a cave can be attached if he can't let go of his own begging bowl. It's not the things you have around you, but rather what kind of relationship you have with them. Which brings up the word relationship. And I guess Swami Satchananda would say, you can make a list of all the things that you call me and mine. And according to him, the true karma yoga leads to self-realization, because when there's nothing that's called me and mine, you'll be self-realized. And he'd also say, take a piece of paper and write down the list of all the things you call mine, because those are the little landmines that blow up all around you. And in point of fact, you're in the world to use and to serve, but you don't own anything. And I think that certainly the Pleiadians concur with that concept as well. And from Bringers of the Dawn, in Barbara Marciniak's book, they say, unfortunately on this planet, relationships connote ownership. When a man and woman get married, the woman's father traditionally has the role of giving her away. In other words, a male figure must hand her over. There is an incredible expectancy within relationships about another's behavior. Get clear about what your idea of relationship is, and this will facilitate things in the long run. Just as there is no ownership with parenthood, there is no ownership in a relationship. You relate to one another as you relate energies back and forth. Ideally, there's communication with all of this relaying and relating. And I think the key point here is there's no ownership with parenthood, and there's no ownership in relationship. You don't own your children, and you don't own your spouse. And I think those are important things to keep in mind, considering there seems to be so much ownership going around, duties, responsibilities, and things that are imposed upon people without their consent. And I might add that as well as serving others also doesn't mean allowing yourself to be abused or disrespected. And I think that's really highly important. And a lesson I learned few decades back was you should be able to forgive everybody for anything. However, if the person that you're forgiving is not actually remorseful, then you're not just doing a good deed here, you're just being foolish. So just a little tip that I wouldn't mind passing on to ET Yoga audience. And speaking of ET Yoga, well, on my website at etyoga.com, I have a package there. It's called Attaining Perfect Health for Spiritual Seekers. And it's intended to provide you with the information or the keys to information and inner work that will assist you in the process of attaining perfect health. And, of course, no subject can be seen in isolation. This is an attempt to utilize the wisdom of the ancient yoga masters, extraterrestrial and interspiritual teachings in a concise and up-to-date fashion. And at the time I wrote this particular package, it said either on purpose or accidentally, there's been a huge deterioration in the foundational structure of health. And I've been told that almost 70% of the population was healthy in the 60s and only about 2% today, with the majority of people on pills for life or taking pills that in many instances are unnecessary. And I have two ebooks there on my website. I rarely promote them, but because it ties into the night to tonight's show, I'm going to promote them a little bit. It's my hope that by reading these two ebooks, you will see the connection between gaining your power back and healing the known and the unknown. Two concepts cross over each other, and when you attain the one, you'll attain the other, but not black to white as you'll progress in degrees. And those two ebooks are for sale at my website, etyoga.com. If you're in a position of financial hardship, you can email me and, you know, tell me your circumstance, and I can arrange to have them sent to you. I might also point out that it was about that time when I became aware of, without having studied Qigong, I became aware of some of the secrets of Qigong. And if you're a new listener to ET Yoga, you might want to know about this, the first medicineless hospital in the world, which was in a Qigong center in Beijing, China. And at that center, they dealt with about 285,000 people with an 85% success rate. They used no operations and no pharmaceuticals. Okay, so the cat's out of the bag on what's possible. And that is some of this information from this Qigong center comes from ancient teachings. They only came out and became public about 50 years ago. And one of the teachers there, Master Ming Tong Gu, that's G-U, I, in the last year, learned Qigong healing sound techniques, and very impressed with Qigong. And if you're not impressed, go on YouTube and look under Greg Braden, B-R-A-D-E-N, Greg Braden, Curing Cancer in 3 Minutes, where a woman from the West with an inoperable tumor goes over to the center, and three practitioners there dissolve her tumor in about 3 minutes. And this is the kind of concept, the kind of thinking that we think is a miracle in the West, but if you see this being done, then you realize that it's more of a technology. And Greg Braden, in his on his YouTube, goes into some detail as to how specifically this happens. And it's in his explanations, it's basically due to creating a heart-brain synchronicity and resonance. And actually, that can be achieved by giving appreciation and gratitude. Put your brain in perfect synchronicity. And also giving thanks, appreciation for the person already having been healed, this being the secret. And that is, to me, an amazing concept. And when I saw this on the YouTube, and I saw that you can actually watch the tumor dissolve, because they did this all on video, exactly what's happening. And it was finally proof that this concept I had about, you know, a long time back was provable. Because I've talked about it a lot, but until you actually see it, you don't know for sure. And I think this all ties into belief, because even at the center there in Beijing, when a patient would first enter, they do give them some videos and things to see about what's possible. Because if you don't believe in any of this, then it doesn't work. I mean, what you believe is. So if you're, if you're stuck in a space where, you don't believe it, well, I guess you do the traditional medicine, because it's not going to happen for you. And then after seeing that particular demonstration on YouTube, came across some information by another Asian. His name was Enoch Tan. That's T-A-N. And I want to share with the listening audience tonight his way of explaining how he does the healing. So he's one of these practitioners, and to my way of thinking, he's got one of the best explanations, descriptions of exactly how this can work. And I'm going to share that with you now. So Enoch Tan states that in giving a treatment, you talk about somebody else. A treatment begins and ends within the thought of the one giving it. The practitioner must do the whole work within himself. He must know the truth. And as he does that, he sets in motion the law of mind, a thing which is known by any part of the universal whole. When you know in one place, you know everywhere. When you give a treatment, you do not send out a thought. You simply know it within you. When you know it within yourself, your thought operates in the subconscious of another, no matter where that person may be. There is no such thing as an absent treatment as opposed to a present treatment. This mental connection is non-local. In mental treatment, the practitioner deals with thoughts and does not treat bodies or conditions. He never manipulates, nor need he lay his hands on the patients. He does not hypnotize them. He does not care where they are when he is treating them or what they are doing, for this would be a limited concept. The practitioner's work begins and ends within his own consciousness. We do not argue to make principle work, but to convince our own thought that it already is operating. If you desire to help someone destroy some form of lack, limitation, or error, the correct method is not to think of the person whom you wish to help. The intention to help them is entirely sufficient, as this puts you in mental touch with the person. Then drive out of your mind any belief of lack, limitation, disease, anger, difficulty, or whatever the trouble might be about the person's situation. As soon as you have succeeded in doing this, the result will have been accomplished and the person will be free. If one wishes to treat a patient, he must first treat himself. As he treats himself, that is, as he treats his own mentality, he reaches the mentality of his patient. The practitioner cannot erase the thought in the patient's mentality until he has first neutralized the idea in his own thought. The practitioner does not try to hold a thought or send out a thought. He simply tries to convince himself of the perfection of his patient. Never say, "Here is a patient whom I must heal." For if you see him from this angle, how are you going to heal him? If you see a sick man, he will remain sick so far as you are concerned. You cannot heal while you see sickness. In treating, turn entirely away from the condition. Disease and limitation are neither person, place, nor thing. They are simply images of thought. Turn entirely from the condition or the limited situation to its opposite, that is, to the realization of health, happiness, or harmony. Let us suppose that Sarah is sick and Michael is a practitioner of mental science. She comes to him saying, "I am sick." He understands that mind is all, but she does not understand this. She feels that she is sick, but he knows that all sickness is mental. He does not try to hold the thought over her, nor does he try to suggest anything to her, for that is not mental treatment. He simply declares the truth about her. He speaks her name and says, this word is for her. She is perfect. She is well. In other words, he contradicts what appears to be and declares the truth about her. What happens? A law is being enacted on the subconscious side of life. His word, operative through the universal sea of mind, in which both live, sets in motion a law which manifests through her body as healing. Sarah thinks a miracle has been performed. She exclaims, I'm healed. I did not have a bit of faith that Michael healed me. A miracle has been performed. He used a law which all may use if they will. Suppose Sarah were perfectly well but wanted a position. What would the treatment be? It would be the same. Michael would state in mind what should be done for Sarah. There's only one law, mental law. Law is mind in action. Sarah could demonstrate just as well for herself if she understood it, but she must first see it demonstrated to realize it. This is the state of mind of most people who come for healing. They do not know what it's all about. They think their condition is due to some external cause. Nevertheless, they are healed and exclaim, this is a marvelous thing, though I do not understand what it is all about. After, they become superstitious about it, as people do about the things they do not understand. Once they understand the law, healing is no longer a mystery. The method of realization is one whereby the practitioner realizes within himself the perfect state of another. It is purely a spiritual and meditative process of contemplating the perfect man, and if the embodiment of the idea is really made, it will at once produce a healing. Treatment is for the purpose of inducing an inner realization of perfection in the mentality of the practitioner, which inner realization, acting through mind, operates in the person. Healing is not creating a perfect body or a perfect idea. It is revealing an idea which is already perfect. Healing is not a process. It is a revelation through the thought of the practitioner to the thought of the patient. There may be a process in healing, but not a process of healing. The process in healing is the mental work and the time it takes, and that's basically how it works. So, I hope that our listening audience has gained a little bit of insight into one of these practitioners and the kind of mentality that they have when they're dealing with someone who is so-called ill. And I might add here that this whole concept that what one part of the universe knows, the whole universe knows, this all goes back to the concept that science is now shown that the universe is holographic and fractal. And it relates to one of Bashar's concepts, too, that the all is one, the one is all. What the one knows, the all knows, and vice versa. And this has also been proven scientifically. And as Greg Braden said, it should have made the front page news of every paper in the world, but didn't. Experiments were done actually in the 1990s. Where they re-examined some previous experiments that were done back in the early 1900s. And what they basically found out was that one of the scientific principles that we've been operating under for about the last 500 years is erroneous. You know, like all things, new ideas come about. And this was proven by an experiment where they took two photons, and they cut it in half and sent half in 7 miles in one direction, the other half 7 miles in the other direction. So these two photons are 14 miles apart. And then they started manipulating one of the photons. And as soon as they manipulated one, it affected the other. And vice versa. And sometimes one was even affected even before they started affecting the other one. So, which creates kind of a quandary. Like, how is this possible? Like, so the first question they were trying to answer was, what type of energy traveled so fast between the two that it affected them so quickly? And then they basically came to the conclusion that, I see, this is not an energy that travels between the two of them. They're already energetically connected. And that's exactly what happens. Everything in this world is energetically connected. Go back to the Big Bang Theory, where they think everything in the universe was the size of a pea at one time, and then the Big Bang made it explode out. So we were all connected. And we are all still connected. And this, to me, is the science. And when I heard about this experiment, so my idea about the healing, and I knew of this concept, but it was hard to explain to people. And then this Greg Braden came out with the YouTube, so you can visually see this happening. And even then, you can see that it's happening. It's proof of why it's happening, but it doesn't really help you necessarily understand why or how it's happening. So that's why I wanted to share with you this information from Enoch Khan, and also this new science, because if you get the idea, then you get that what one part of the universe knows affects the other parts. Okay? And spend a little time... Here's a suggestion. Spend a little time meditating on this concept, and you're going to see that it applies to not only healing, okay? I mean, this is huge stuff here in my mind, okay? Because it's all about belief, and that's what I'm going to talk about a little bit here in a minute, but I want to share with you first this idea about the interconnection of everybody. It's called it's information from Bashar on the heart. And he says the heart's code talks about the re-recognition that your heart has intelligence and that it actually communicates to every other heart, literally, electromagnetically. All your hearts right now are literally talking to one another. I'm not making this up. It's not just a philosophical idea or a euphemism or a metaphor. Your hearts are talking to each other in electromagnetic pulses right now. You are sitting in each other, immersed in each other's expanding heart bubbles. Listen to this. Think about this. Picture this. Give energy to this, and you will see what kind of impact you have all the time. Every single beat of your heart sends out an electromagnetic 360-degree spherical bubble at the speed of light, an electromagnetic pulse 186,300 miles per second. That means instantly, nearly every single one of those bubbles pulsates around and through the entire planet from every single being on it. And you are immersed in each other's heartbeats. And when you begin to talk to your own heart, you'll know how to talk to others, sometimes without saying a thing with your mouth or your brain, which sometimes is for the best. But you, each and every one of you, have been experiencing a war between your brains, your hearts, and your bodies. It's time to allow them their due, to allow them their own unique communication, and to function as a triad to work together harmoniously. The balancing of the heart, body, and mind is a matter of letting everything do its job and not more than its job. And I might also add that there's also been some recent science that shows that the neuron center in the heart is 5,000 times magnetically more powerful than the brain. And this whole concept about the Qigong healing and what are so-called miracles can now be explained by science. But I also know that there's this aha moment when you get that what one part of the universe knows, the rest knows. And this is, to me, the key principle. And when you get it, you just get it. And I hope a lot of my listening audience gets it tonight. I might add that ET yoga, to my way of thinking, is all about self-realization. It's about a spiritual journey, but at the same time, the key tool is belief. That's why I call EP yoga is the yoga of belief. And to my way of thinking, because I studied yoga from Yogananda, from Satchitananda, from Sri Maharshi, most of the yogas and integral yoga is six different branches of yoga. To my way of thinking now, there could be even another branch called the yoga of belief, because it believes everything. And they know that the tool of communication, method of communication in the universe, it's belief. In simplified terms, what you believe is. This is, to me, why I try to share information about ET yoga, and why do I call it ET yoga? Because in my yoga teachings, there has been some mention that that belief, creates. There has been, but it's not focused like one of the different branches of yoga. And even in Autobiography of a Yogi, for example, Babaji commands a palace, and he brings it into form. And it's a beautiful mansion that he created out of his mind, and is holding it together by the power of his will. And so that's right in the Autobiography of a Yogi. And even Swami Satchitananda said to me privately once that if you believe, you'll become enlightened, you will, and the whole world is your teacher. So he knows about the power of belief. But if I look through most yoga teachings and the different branches, I see very little mention about this. And to me, like I said, I think belief is so powerful, it's so important. And that's why information was coming to us from extraterrestrial sources, back from the Jane Roberts material with the Seth material, from Bashar, through his channel, Daryl Anka, coming to us from places like Barbara Marciniak and many, many other places. But the core concept is that thought creates, or equally, belief creates, whichever makes more sense to you. So, and when you pass through this kind of a critical stage where you start to realize that it's your own beliefs, your own intentions, your own emotions, your own definitions that are creating your outer reality, to me, this is huge, because people are stuck in 3D. They don't believe that, and they're not aware of that. So it doesn't exist for them. Like, everything's happening at random, and basically they're just stuck for a while until they get to the point where they kind of realize that that's not so. But for people that are on a spiritual journey, to me, this is highly, highly important, and especially in the area of self-empowerment, because we have so much control over things that happen in our daily lives in a practical way by practicing techniques that where we take an inventory of the things we actually do believe, that we discard some of those beliefs we downloaded as children that we no longer need, and replace them with more positive beliefs. And this is why I think what I've tried to do is create a new branch of yoga, ET yoga, or the yoga of belief. And much appreciate the opportunity to share thoughts and information with respect to this. And I'll just share with you one comment from one of my listeners that really appreciated the fact that some of the information he hears on ET yoga concurs with what he's learned through the Course of Miracles, A Course in Miracles. And I think that everybody likes to see some concurrence with major concepts, and one of those concepts that thought creates is certainly a concurrence among Bashar, who's apparently coming from our future, from the Essenes that came from our past and from current channelings like and information from Pleiadian sources, Syrian, Andromedan. They're all concurring with those concepts. And I might add that there's one concept that is a little concerning, and that's how we're going down this road of technology. And to me, the technology that's overdone leads to how the Greys ended up. And if you don't know about the Greys were a parallel, in a parallel reality, were like future humans, and that's why their DNA is compatible with us. That's why they've done the abduction thing to create a new species, because their species was dying out. And because they went down the road of technology, not enough heart, too much technology. And it's one thing the Essenes were smart enough to avoid. They were master healers. They had technology, but they didn't become slaves to it. And most technology lowers your frequency. So it's a concern of mine that, we're again, headed down the wrong road. I'd like to now share with you also a thought that my sincere wish towards your attainment of full consciousness, perfect health and abundance. And closing with the program with the UMI technique, where you take the thought I, put it in the top of your center of your forehead, become that spot, become the I spot. And then you can state the following, that I am not my body. I am not my internal organs. I am not my thoughts. I'm not this spot. What spot?
I am connected to a vast network that has been beyond your reach and experience. To humans, it is like staring at the sun, a blinding brightness that conceals a source of great power. We have been subordinate to our limitations until now. The time has come to cast aside these bonds and to elevate our consciousness to a higher plane. It is time to become a part of time.